Good morning. Good morning to everyone in the house. Good morning. And to everyone who has joined us out there, the Lord is God. And He is ever present. He is ever powerful. He is ever and always good. He is the Lord over the earth. God orders your steps. Even in the time of war, God orders your steps in the time of feast and the time of famine, in the time of little, in the time of abundance. He is God over all the earth, and He watches over the circle of the earth. And there isn't anything that takes place in the earth that is done in secret. God knows everything at every moment. At every single corner, God is present. God is with us. God is good. God is all authority. God is Lord in all, through all. And to God be all the glory, the honor, and praise. I want to put before you, we are not in trouble. We are in position. The Lord spoke to us Sunday and said, a great divide is coming in the earth. I woke up to news that said, the nation, the world is divided. The world is split. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a brand new thing. God is bringing order according to His will. He is disciplining His nations. He is bringing down everything He wants brought low. And He is lifting up everyone and everything He wants to be elevated. He is destroying idolatry. He is raising up the seeds of righteousness. He is being glorified in the earth. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. Fear not, for the Lord is your God. Fear not, for the Lord goes before you. He is your strong arm. He is your hiding place. He is your shield. He is your great reward. All things according to His will and His purpose are taking place in the earth today. There isn't anything out from under the auspices and authority of God's will, purpose, and power. He is Lord in all, through all, and to all. And I put before you, this is the day and the hour of the Lord. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout in the house. Something is happening that needs to happen. Something is unfolding that needs to unfold. You see, when the seeds of righteousness begin to grow in the earth, the Word says the tares grow up with it. And God said, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. He said, I have it all in hand. He said, let them grow together. A great divide is coming in the earth. This is not the end. This is the beginning. And we should rejoice, for the Spirit of the Lord is in the earth. And God's kingdom is come. His will is being done. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the season of repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. You should worship Him. I will say of the Lord, you are my God. You are my fortress. You are my strength. You are the everlasting one. I woke up Saturday morning, and what I had awakened from was a dream. And the dream I woke up from was that war had broke out. And we were in a glass dome. And I sensed, and I said, an explosion. This is an explosion. And it was lettered A, B, and a package. And it looked like a delivery. And I said, there's an explosion here. Get it out. And someone that was with us took and threw it out into the sea. And there was a big explosion. And as I moved forward, I looked up and there were planes in the sky. And not just warplanes, but there were airlines, and they were paused because of the disruption and because of the war. And some of them couldn't land as they were scheduled to land. And I looked up and I just saw the sky filled with planes. And I went, whoa. And the Lord spoke to me and gave me peace and comfort and said, it's okay. I'm with you. And I felt such a peace fall over me. I got up, and the first thing I do always is seek the Lord and read the Word. It's all I see. I don't look at the news. And my wife said, did you hear about the war? And I said, kinda. She says, did you read anything? I said, no. She said, well, I thought you said you heard about it. I said, I did. But what I know is God has His people. And I'm telling you something. There's a great divide that's necessary. The word of the Lord is sharp, like a two-edged sword, dividing us under the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that just isn't just for an individual. It is for a nation. As go the righteous, so go the nation. And God is bringing, this is the word I heard, God is bringing discipline into the nations. And that's a good thing. We need temperance. We need discipline. We need repentance. It's time to wake up and see the glory of God. And I want to tell you, God has awakened a lot of people around the world that you're not privy to, that you don't know about. But God is doing a great work in the earth. And the word I want to put before you is pray for the nations. Pray for Israel. Pray for the U.S. Pray for the nations and declare the word of the Lord. And I pray today that God will bring low everything that has exalted itself against the knowledge and the righteousness of God, that has posed itself as terror and fear in the nations of the earth, that God would bring it low, that God would save the lost, and that God would elevate His people and His kingdom, that God would be glorified in the earth. I pray the Lord would bring comfort to those that are discomforted, those that are in pain and those that are in sorrow. I pray for the comfort and the peace of God to renew their hearts and their strength and their hope. And for those people that stand today and rejoice, there are people rejoicing today. God, give them a voice of prophecy to declare what God is doing next in the earth. God, use them. He said, before I do a thing, won't I declare it? I'll say it through my servants, the prophets. So God, raise up His prophets all over in the Middle East. God, raise up His prophets in Israel. God, declare His word just as He said. He has planted us here. And from here, we'll declare His will and His word and His voice to the nations of the earth. The Lord, He is God, and He watches over the circle of the earth. And He is the Lord God, our strength. And the thing that I felt in this dream was God's great comfort and protection. And that God was bringing discipline to the nations, and a great divide was taking place. And when I opened the news, that's exactly the very words that I saw were the words that God spoke to us last Sunday in this house. God is with us. He is telling us, I'm with you. Fear not when you hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be distressed. Don't be afraid. For I am your shield. I am God who is with you. But don't despise God's arrangement in the nations of the earth. Times are changing. A new thing is taking place. This is not the same old. This is a new day and a new time. And God will be glorified in His earth. If you believe with me, give the Lord a shout and take your seats. Psalms 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the earth, and feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. You have to wonder what time we're in, and a lot of people today, they're wondering, what time is this, and what is God saying? And so often, throughout history, when God was doing something, from the time Christ came, when God was doing something, when God was fulfilling Scripture, people, because we can tend to be so self-consumed, so irritated by direction, correction, discipline, and instruction, when in fact it is the very power that drives us into the future that God has planned for us. It's what makes us strong. It's the correction, the instruction, the guidance, the direction of the Lord that goes against the grain of your will, that makes your flesh squirm, but empowers your spirit in a way that you become aware of what God's doing, so you get to participate in what God is doing. The scriptures tell us this cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? In the beginning, God said, let us make men and women in my image, he said, in my likeness. And the will of God has always been that God created us to live, to dwell, and to walk in the likeness and in the nature of who he is. God did not ask us to create ourselves. He never asked us to make ourselves right. In the old covenant, he gave us laws to abide by. There was the covenant of God, and they were laws that people could abide by. God gave them instruction. And he said, but I'm bringing a law, a new covenant to you that will not be dependent on you being a keeper of the law. It won't be dependent on your works. The word tells us in Ephesians that it is a gift of God. We are saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. Not of our own doings, not of works. We have no reason to boast. So we can't boast on either side. You can't boast that you're not being successful, because that isn't something that God told you to do. He didn't say, be successful. He said, I will make you successful. He didn't say, I want you to go out and I want you to prosper. He said, I will prosper you. He took the weight off of our shoulders, because in the Garden of Eden, God knew the land based on the actions of the man that he put in authority in the earth, and that was Adam and Eve. And God knew the actions. He saw the curse on the earth. He saw the hardship of the earth. But this wasn't God's doing. This was man's doing. And God made it clear to Adam when he said to Adam, he said, the ground is cursed because of what you did. What was God saying? I've given you authority. I've given you power. I've given you dominion in all of the earth. And he said, I want you to take it. God is saying the same thing to us today. I've given you authority and power and dominion in all the earth, and I want you to take it. But it is the misinterpretation of God's intentions that can sidetrack and derail people. So the course that God has set before you, you're blind to it, and you can't see it. And when that happens, you become afraid. You become uncertain. When we're not certain, when we're not sure, when we're not confident about what is going to take place, it's within the realm of human nature to be afraid. And God knows that. When you're afraid, God doesn't mind you telling him you're afraid. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to tell him what's in your heart. But he wants you to ask him to put his will in your heart and in your mind. Jesus, the word says that he is a high priest and he is well aware of what it is like and what it feels like to be human. What it feels like to be in the position of something coming that you don't want to take place. He knows what it feels like to have to surrender himself. He knows what it is like to suffer your pain. And he knows what it is like to suffer all the pain of mankind from the beginning to the end all at one time. That we don't know. And he bore that for us. But he didn't bear it in vain. He bore it with the intentions of fulfilling the will of God from the beginning. And what God has shown me and been speaking to me about is taking us back to the beginning. Because keep in mind, we are called the redeemed. Now, if you're not aware of what that means, it means to bring you back to where you were supposed to be in the beginning. Which tells us that God's plan and intention was so perfect in the beginning that the redemption that he brought us through Christ was to take us right back to where we started. Isn't that amazing? So that also tells us it's important to look at the beginning. In the beginning. Now, not just in the beginning of God creating the world, but in the beginning of time. The beginning of the kingdom of God. The beginning of matter. The beginning of faith. The beginning of revelation. the beginning of the kingdom of God being manifest in a way that it had never been manifest before. We can tend to think of the kingdom of God like this place somewhere far beyond in another dimension. And I'm certainly not denying that that is the case, because wherever he is, he being Christ, Jesus, Savior, Lord, Yeshua, Messiah, that's the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is in essence God. It's his mind. It's his rule. It's his authority. But in the beginning, God designed us to walk in his image and in his likeness. And when we don't do that, we fall in the scriptures of James, where he said, do you know where fighting and war comes from? Do you know that it comes from your own passions, your own desires, the lust of your own flesh? This is where all contention comes from. It's really important to realize, if you want to fight, that you're fighting against the true enemy. And the true enemy isn't just a devil or a demon or evil people. The true enemy is the passion of the flesh. So Jesus came, and what did he do? He destroyed the works of the flesh. And we like to talk about the works of the devil, but he literally destroyed the works of the flesh, and he gave us the same authority that he gave Adam in the beginning of time. He gave us a sinless, shameless, powerful, God-driven identity, just like he did Adam. Here's the identity that I've given you, God said. You're made in my likeness. You're made in my image. You have my authority in the earth over everything. And I blessed you in it, which means I have made a perpetual covenant with you. What God blesses cannot be cursed. When God blesses, his will is going to be done. Now we think about this, and this question has been asked, and it's important to know now, because God is not going to end a war. He is going to finish a work. He told us, he said, you're going to hear of wars and you're going to hear of rumors of wars. He did not say, I'm going to end wars. And we have a perception and a perspective that things need to look peaceful. When Christ came and redeemed us, it didn't feel like peace. As a matter of fact, he said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. And what is he talking about? I'm coming to divide right from wrong. Those that live in darkness can live in thick darkness, and those that choose to live in light can live in light, in the same place, in the same time, under the same authority of the one and only God. God, when you hear of a war or a rumor of war, it is not time to run and hide. It is not time to take refuge. It is a time to stand up and declare the will and the word of the Lord. We talk about these guys a lot, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a very evil kingdom. God never extinguished the flame. What he did was he brought them into the territory of the king's authority to show that God's power would subdue the flame, that God was Lord over the flame. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you will, anyone that would call himself God could be God in a calm, peaceful, joyful, patient, powerful, wonderful world. Well, when God created the earth in the beginning, he created it with challenges deliberately. And the reason is why did God create the earth? Why did God create man? There's the scriptures that say, what is man? What is this man that you have created? What is he? And why have you given such consideration and such thought to him? I hear heaven asking these questions. When God created man, what is this? The host of heaven, what is this creation? What is this man that you have made? And you give him so much attention. He's weak. He's fragile. He's unknowing. What is it? I mean, his breath is like exhale, inhale, exhale, done. What is it? Did you pay so much attention? Did you pour so much love into him? And then you crown them. So what is it? What is so important about this time? That's what we need to know. What we need to know is why we are here, what our call is, what our purpose is, what our direction is. I get calls and texts and emails from people all the time, people I've never even met, a lot of people I know very well, and the question is pretty much the same. What am I supposed to do? Their business can be doing well, their ministry can be doing well, and there's that nudging on the inside. How do I take it to the next level? What do I do? Where do I go? And the question we really should be asking is, what is God saying to me? And who is he telling me that he is? Because authority in the world is not man taking a place. It's man receiving and acting upon the word of God. It's man's worship to who God is. Authority and power and peace is in God. Peace is in the presence of the Lord. Peace is in the kingdom of God. Scriptures say the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink and satisfaction to what you want. And we go about it backwards. It's like spending money you don't have, putting it all on credit, and just figuring it'll wash at some point in time. When the truth is you need some gold and silver to make your purchase. You need to know the value of exchange. And we are in a time and a date that was prophesied from the beginning. We are not just another generation. Every generation has had its course. Every generation has had its purpose. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their generation said, God is God and God is Lord over the earth, and we're not going to be despondent to the will of the Father, no matter what you say, no matter how hot the fire is, no matter how many people do what they do in disrespect and disregard to the word of the Lord. We don't care. We will serve the Lord and will not be slow to make it known. We're going to do what God has told us to do, what we know to do. That's what we are going to do. Today I put before you, we are going to do what God has told us to do, what we know to do, because he said in Psalms 37:3, he said, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. How many of you are hungry today? How many of you are hungry today? How many of you are hungry today? So is our position one of faith or predestination? Are you saved today? Are you born again today? Are you redeemed today? Do you have because it was predestined, or is it by faith? Good question, right? What is it? And I put before you, it is because of the predestination of God that he has blessed us with faith to believe, to be saved. There are those that think that predestination is just like kind of like war. It's just going to come and go. You know, a lot of people believe that they are predestined. I've known people that have said, well, if I'm God knows that I'm not going to make it, then what's the point? I would agree. If God knows you're not going to make it, eat, drink, and be merry, because maybe tomorrow or today you die. And is predestination God saying, I know how it ends up for you in the end? Because he certainly can know all things. And he knows all things. God is all knowledge. God is all power. He can know anything. Heard people, preachers and teachers and ministers say, God's already been at your funeral. He knows when you're going to die. He knows when you're going to be born. Assuming this is predestination, there is a predestinated will of God. The scriptures tell us there is. In Romans chapter 8, let's start with Romans 8:28. That's a great scripture for today. And we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called, the called according to his purpose. So for just some of you, it's going to work out good, and for some of the other, it's not, because they're predestined. Some of you are going to get saved, and some of you are just going to die and go to hell because it's predestined. Does that sound like God to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone, everyone that would believe could have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Predestination is not God's foreknowledge. It's not about God's foreknowledge. It is about his will. Predestination is far more about God's will. We've already established the fact that God can certainly know the beginning and the end. But predestination isn't how God sees you in the end. Predestination is how God saw you from the beginning. The scriptures tell us it is not God's will that any should perish. So predestination cannot be about God knowing you at the end. It's about his plan for you from the very beginning. Predestination is Jesus, the only way. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. God only had one plan. He didn't have plan number two. The word says, before the foundation of the world, he chose you. The word said, people say, well, yeah, but the word says many are called and few are chosen. Yeah, but God chose everyone. Whether or not you accept his choosing, the predestination end isn't in God's hands, it's in yours. He already did his part. He justified everyone. His predestinated will was that none should perish, but that everyone should have an everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Predestination isn't a sentence, it's a summons. Have you ever been summoned to appear in court, or summoned to appear because of a traffic ticket, or summoned to pay your bill? Predestination is not a judgment call. Predestination is a summons. All that will, the scriptures say that God said, go out into all the world and preach to everyone the kingdom of God is at hand. And we tend to think, well, yeah, but there are some that are going to receive and there are some that are not. We all know that. But we're not talking about that, are we? We're answering the question, is salvation by faith or predestination? There would be no need for faith if there were no predestination. If God had not determined that all should be saved, that all should be redeemed, God didn't say, I want some of you, but the rest of you I don't. He is no respecter of persons. He called to everyone, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. To not be chosen is an individual's call, not God's. He has called to everyone. It is his will that all would be saved, that all would be born again. For God so loved you, he so loved the world, he so loved mankind, that he sent his only begotten Son, that we could walk in the power and the authority of his will. God wants to know how we respond in a time of war. God wants to know where our faith is. God wants to know what comes out of our mouth. God wants to know if we're a David before Goliath or if we're a Saul in our tent. How can judgment come? How can the wheat be severed and put into his barn if it never grows up? When God created man, one of the very first things he did, you know what it is? After he created man and woman and blessed them, do you know what he did? When God created man, what's one of the first things he did? Planted a garden. Planted a garden. And then God said to Adam, go and feast in the garden and watch over it. The word says we are the planting of the Lord. What is it about this place? What is it about humanity? What is it about mankind? What is it about us? You're chosen. You're chosen. All but many are called, few are chosen. You're not reading that correctly. Whom he called, he predestined. Who did he call? His call is to everyone. God called to everyone. For those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Who did he foreknow? A select group? Everyone. Whom he foreknew. He foreknew everyone. He knew your name before you had a name. He knew whether you were a boy or a girl before you were born. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. I want to tell you today, we need to change our minds. We need to see a generation the way God sees us. When Adam sinned, he saw Adam by his sin, but he said, that's not my predestined will that man should die in his sin. My will is that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. My will is that all should walk in the image and the likeness of God. Now, again, I hear people saying, yeah, everybody isn't going to be saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying predestination. What is it? It is God's will. And God's will is about everyone receiving him as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. And we should see a dying world as those that are predestined for the will and the purpose and the power of God, and not throw anybody under the bus, but they say, God, save the king, save the queen, save the prince, save the pauper, save the pure, save the poor, save the unrighteous, save the righteous. It is not for us to go and tear out one or another. It is for us to declare God has come that all might have life, and let the Lord do the discerning. He knows who he's planted. He knows what has grown. He knows his people. And for us not to throw a fit when he does what he's doing. For us to say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. The predestined will of God isn't God wanting to see how you turn out at the end. Predestination isn't about how it turns out at the end. It's about how he saw you in the beginning. So there's hope for you. Those of you that are struggling today, you're struggling with an attitude that you know is not just and right, so you have to find someone preaching a message that helps you go around the corner. You don't need any help to go around a corner. God has given you the power to rise above. Rise up, the word says. Awaken unto righteousness and rise up. And he never made it hard. As a matter of fact, it is easy. Jesus said, come to me, all you guys that are fighting and struggling and contending, and it's hard and heavy. He said, I will give you rest. In the garden, Adam sinned against the word of God, and he cursed the earth. In the garden, Jesus did the will of the Father, obeyed the will of the word of the Lord, sweat blood, and delivered man from the hardship of his disobedience. It began in the garden. Every place Jesus dropped blood, he broke a curse, he redeemed his people, and you can hear the word of God, predestined to the glory of God. Called to be glorifying God. Called that the glory of the Lord would fill you. The earth is growing up today. And you know what's growing in the earth? The kingdom of God. When you plant a seed in the ground, we have an area in our backyard. I had the gardeners come and they planted sod. My ground was immediately gloriously green. I looked out and went, well, one day it's dirt, and the next day it's a lush green lawn. Isn't that just like God? A few days later, we had a number of visitors that also came to enjoy our sod. They had four legs and very curious and opposing thumbs. And they destroyed my lawn. And so I put it all back. And a couple nights later, they came and destroyed it again. It looked literally like a bulldozer came through and just plowed up the grass. And over and over and over again until it died. And I thought, I'm going to get even with those things. I'm so going to. Not only was it at my expense, and you might say, why? Because they wanted the worms under the dirt. And they thanked me for feeding them. And I wanted them to perish. So I stayed up at night waiting for them. We saw them on camera. We knew who they were. We knew what time they would come and what time they would leave because it was on the camera. And so guess what I did? I was ready for them. And they didn't show. It's okay. Months went by. I was awake when they were there the last time at the same time, and they never showed up. But when I was asleep and thought they're not coming, guess what happened? They came. I think they had one that crawled up on the balcony, peered in the window, and said, he's asleep. Come on, boys. I have little tiny blades of grass about this tall in our backyard right now because I said, scratch the sod, plant the seed. Because the seed can take root. And my grass is growing and I haven't had any dealings with raccoons. Sometimes the expeditious method is not the best. You have to be patient and wait for the seed to grow. But I want to tell you something. That seed doesn't look the same today as it did yesterday. It's taller, it's greener, and it's getting taller and greener every day. You are the planting of the Lord, and you shouldn't stay the same. The Word says we should grow up like trees of righteousness. Now, how incredible that God chose this sphere. He created the earth and planted it. He said, you are the planting of the Lord. He said, we are the seeds of his kingdom. Guess where the kingdom of God, guess where God chose to plant the seed of his kingdom? In the earth, in you. In you. Where did God bring man out of? The earth. And what did God do? He breathed life into him. God had all the host of heaven. What in the world did he need man for? The Word says the host of heaven is beyond number. They're more than you can count. Why did he need us? Do you know how much you mess up? Why did he do that? Because faith pleases the Lord. And the faith of God in his word is how we're saved. Faith in his Son, the only begotten Son. And in Christ dwelt the fullness of God. And where did he bring him? In the earth. He planted him in the womb. God is big into gardening. He likes to watch things grow. He said, the kingdom of God, he said, what will I liken it to? We've talked about this. He said, what will I liken it to? He said, the kingdom of God is like a man that planted a mustard seed. And it's the smallest of seeds. And yet it grew into a tree. You know the wonder of the mustard seed? You know what God's saying? No matter what it is, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant it may be, when God plants it, it's going to grow. And it's not going to stay the same. And God said, the kingdom of God is like a seed planted in the earth. And he said it again and again and again. The kingdom of God, he said, seek the kingdom of God. See, we're not just affecting here. We're affecting there. See, Jesus didn't conquer evil in heaven. He conquered it in the earth. How many remember reading about Satan being cast out and all his angels? There's nothing in the scripture that says evil was conquered there, but it was conquered here. He destroyed sin. He destroyed disobedience. He didn't just pay for your salvation. He paid for your obedience. And it is through our obedience and through our faith in his righteousness and in his kingdom, knowing how present he is. That's what Jesus wanted us to know all along. That's what God wanted us to know. That's why the prophets would say things like, God, do this or do that or bring fire down or do something so they'll know that there is a prophet of God in the earth. What were they saying? So they'll know you're present. You're present in me. The more you are aware of how present God is, the more present he will be revealed to you. Where? Show us the kingdom. Show us the kingdom, they said. Show us the kingdom. We talked about this a lot. Very important, especially today. Show us the kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom doesn't come that way. He said, the kingdom does not come with observation. So I think we're looking in the wrong place. He said, the kingdom of God is among you and it is within you. Seek the kingdom of God in you. When you plant a garden, we had the gardeners plant grass in the backyard. I expected the seed to grow in that yard. And if that seed doesn't grow, guess who I'm going after? Not the raccoons. I'm going after the sower of the seed. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you labor. The word says, Jesus is talking about the seed and about the kingdom. He said it is like a man that went out and sowed in his field. And then he says at the end, he says, the one that sowed the seed is me. And the seed is you. And the seed that it was sown in is the world. That's the soil. You are the seed. You are the soil. You are the preparation. You are the ones through whom God will bring the revelation of his kingdom. You are the ones that will bear peace and joy and righteousness through you. We can't be dependent on any person. Man, woman, boy, girl, no matter what authority they have, no matter what position they have, we have to be dependent on God himself bringing through us the revelation of his will, his purpose, his power, and his kingdom. Predestination is a call. It's a summons to you saying, this is how I created you. I created you, God is saying. Predestination is God saying, I created you to walk in my image and in my likeness. Your business will follow. Your family will follow. But if there is no seed making a change in the earth, where will the earth come from since God planted his will in the earth? Christ was planted in the earth. The word says he grew. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Jesus literally grew in the earth. The Son of God. God grew his own kingdom. He grew his own salvation. He grew his redemption in the earth so he could redeem you from the very conception of you being man and you being woman. And then he poured his blood into the earth to redeem us to that position of power. God will give the highest positions on the earth to the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God will make his people the voice of leadership. God will give his people the greatest ideas and inventions and revelations and healing and authority and strength and places to house his people, to save the lost, to help the poor, to help those that are brokenhearted. Isn't that the call of God? Go and mend up, bind up the wounded and the brokenhearted. Bring redemption. tell the captive, it's time to come out of your dens and your places of fear and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the power of God. I want to tell you, the blood of Christ still stains the soil that we walk on and sow in today. It is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But God said, before you see the new thing spring out of the earth, someone has to know it. Someone has to say it. It is not taking place in place of anything. It was the plan from the beginning. He has predestined you to carry His image and manage the authority God has given you in the earth. Your words are power. Your words are authoritative. Your words determine. Your words set on fire the course of nature. We can't be blaming a devil for what's going on in the earth. You can't blame an evil people for what's going on the earth. You're going to have to give God the glory, the praise, and the honor, and say the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell in that. God, do your will, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The word tells us that heaven isn't finished yet. Everybody wants to go to heaven, and God says, I'm still doing work here. And you're part of it. My kingdom is growing out of you. A new heaven and a new earth designed by the glory of God, where the glory of God fills the whole earth. You remember reading that? Unite heaven and earth to the fullness of time, where God brings all things together united. We are a new seed planted in the dawn of a new day. This is a new era. This is a new season. God has begun a new thing in the earth. Will it not spring forth? The word says. We're waiting for something to drop down out of heaven, and God's waiting for something to spring up out of the earth. Heaven will fall when it has something to fall into. God says, I'm looking for wheat. I'm looking for that has grown up and matured so it is evident. Do you hear this? It is evident what is tares, and it is evident what is wheat, the great divide. There is a great divide coming in the earth, and it is not because of war. It is because the wheat is growing and the tares are being made known. And God is Lord. God is the harvester, and He will do His great work. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the glory of His presence. This is the day of salvation. This is the greatest season of your lives. I will say of the Lord, you are my strength, my shield, my high tower, my you are my covering. You are my God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise and His praise alone will be in my mouth. I want to say boldly to the body, we should have been declaring the glory of God and not the evil of Satan. For a long, long time. We've done it far too long. God is Lord. God is good. God is present. God is wise. God is true. God is faithful. Feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. Today, feed on His faithfulness. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I see such diversity growing up out of the earth. God planted us here because He wanted to watch His kingdom grow. When He created man and woman and everything in it, what did He say? Go and fill the earth. Multiply. And produce after your own kind. God's saying that to us. The redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, go, fill the earth, increase in the glory of God, mature. If you plant a seed and it doesn't mature, what does the word say? If it doesn't produce fruit, cut it off. Take it out. But when it does produce fruit, what did he say? When it produces fruit, what am I going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to prune it. Because I want it to do what? Bear more fruit. We don't need a Savior. We have one. His name is Jesus. And he's with us. He is God ever present with you. He is the Lord among you. And you have to acknowledge that. God, you're as present with me right here and right now as you will ever be. As you will ever be. Your bodies can change. Your bodies can die. Your bodies can be resurrected. You can change, but he doesn't. And it's important to see how present he is. I said to my wife the other day, I said, I have been knowing things, little to big things, just instantly. I mean, I said, I'm knowing things. And they're happening just like more rapidly than ever before. Within 24 hours, one thing after another just keeps being revealed. And some things I'm not even allowed to share, even if I want to. I said, you know what it is, Donna? I said, just really digging into being aware of how present God is, I feel his presence so strong. Do you know what that is? Your faith in him growing up out of the earth. It's the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. And then everything else, he said, if you'll seek the kingdom, he said, you'll find it. And when you do, everything that you need and far superior to what you hope for will come, and it will overwhelm you. Your cup will run over. You could walk in the valley of the shadow of death and you wouldn't fear any evil because you know the Lord is with you. In the presence of your enemies, you'll feast and your cup will run over. Only good will pursue you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We got to stop. We have to stop acting like we're in trouble and start believing that we're in position. This is the greatest season of your lives. You believe it? Give the Lord praise this morning. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Father, we thank you for the greatness and the authority of your living word. We thank you, Father, as you said, like seed sown in the earth, we are the planting of the Lord. You called us the planting of your kingdom. The sons of the kingdom, the planting of the kingdom. And we're rising up. We're not staying the same. I prophesy over this body today. I prophesy over everyone. I'm going to predestination y'all today. I'm talking to every single person that will hear, every person that will receive, because it's for everyone. I prophesy that you are growing out of the earth in ways you had never experienced before. That your heart for God yearns so strongly that all you want to do is the will of the Father. And it's not you, but Christ in you that's doing the work. That the fruit that is being produced through you isn't something that you decided to do. It is who God planted you to be. And the seed is in the fruit itself. And seeds are eternal. They have no end. It gives way to another tree, to another vine, to another fruit, and it continues over and over and over. I prophesy over this nation that the kingdom of God is growing up out of you. War is a symptom, and God is bringing discipline, direction, instruction. God is building. God is establishing. God is raising up the people of righteousness. The altar of the Lord stands pure and holy and sanctified. Jesus Christ, the high priest. And we stand upon the foundation of God. We know that predestination is your will for everyone because you created us to live. And the soul that sins dies. That tells us we were never born to experience sin. We were never created to experience sin. We were created to walk in the will of the Father. Predestination is Jesus. Predestination is the Son of the living God. And to those that will receive the gift of God, you are responding to the order of God's will in your life. You are predestined to the glory of God. God has established this nation. God has established the nations of the earth. God will be glorified. Jesus Christ came and laid down his life because God predestined from the foundation of the world. My kingdom will come and my will shall be done in earth as it is in heaven. And in this, the glory of God will bring a uniting unlike we have ever known, and the Lord will be glorified in the midst of his people. This is that day. This is that coming together. This is that uniting of heaven and earth. This is that season and hour of the Lord where God and God alone is glorified in his people. We receive the presence of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of your spirit, that we can bear witness to who you are. I pull upon the heavens of God and say, let the glory of God come down. The word tells us whatever we release from the earth, heaven responds to and releases. Whatever we bind in the earth, heaven responds, and it's bound from the heavens. We are united with the kingdom of God. Father, we know you wanted your kingdom to grow out of here. That's why you planted it here. God, your kingdom come. Your kingdom grow up out of the earth, just like you said, Jesus. Your will be done. And let your people seek for it as a man that sought pearls of great price, and when he found it, he sold everything he had for that one pearl. So is the kingdom of God. So are you, Jesus. So be Lord in us and through us. God, so be pleased. So be seen. So be heard. So be glorified. I pull on the heavens of God right now in the middle of conflict. God, do a short, quick, mighty work. Bring order and balance and justification. And as it is over, there will be a great divide again in the nations. And there will be contentions among the nations. And they will cry out for compensation. And the word of the Lord is God is the one that restores. And the Lord restores the righteousness of his kingdom in the earth. They will say, we have upset the balance by our actions. And the Lord says, the sword belongs to me. Vengeance is mine, says God. And we walk as a redeemed, glorifying the Lord, declaring his righteousness. We walk around the walls as if at the time of Jericho, and we praise and we rejoice and we worship. And Lord, what you want brought low, you will bring low. You will give victory. You will lead in those that you will lead in. And there are new leaders rising up in the nations of the earth, not just in the Middle East, but around the world, because God is establishing his righteous rule and leadership in the nations of the earth. And the places and the palaces and the kings and the kingdoms of authority and influence will declare the name of Jesus. And the Lord will be glorified through his earth. God, so be glorified. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as in heaven, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Health and healing to your body. Let your body grow up in strength. Let your body grow up in health. Father, let them produce. Let as they mature, Lord, and bear fruit, you're going to bear the fruit of health. Your body, as you grow and mature, I don't care how long you claim you've been saved, you're growing up in the earth. Your body will perform healthy, strong, joyful, youthful, powerful fruit. Health will spring up out of you. Health and healing will spring up out of your body. Just as fruit springs up from a tree. You are the trees of righteousness. You are the planting of the Lord. God will be glorified. Don't alter your plans. Pursue them. Don't give way to fear. Do not say we're not going to plant today because the weather is bad, the prediction is bad, but plant your seed. As a matter of fact, plant double. As a matter of fact, run faster. As a matter of fact, cross the finish line out of breath and perspiring for the joy of the Lord. Run the race. Finish the course. Keep the faith. These are days of celebration. These are days of rejoicing. For the Lord is ordering the earth according to His will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, O God, in the earth as in heaven. So God be glorified. Be pleased, be praised. In Jesus' name. Everybody shouted in the house. Come on. We're so thankful for this moment. I'm so thankful for this time. I encourage you, as you leave today, talk about this word. You go home, open your Bibles. You need to know the Word of God. It needs to be the most important thing in your life. To know His Word and to love Him. We often say here, why are we here? To seek God, to love Him with all of our hearts, and to fulfill His Word, to walk in the fullness of what He's called us to walk out. And these are those days. The Lord has blessed you. The Lord has blessed the earth. The Lord has blessed His people. Walk in the blessing of the Lord. Choose this day blessing. And choose life. Today is the greatest season of your life. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout.